The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Blue Canary. The bird has landed on beautiful Bainbridge Island, conveniently located at 499 Madison Avenue. ASE Master Technician Clint Ramsey brings over 15 years of experience, award-winning diagnostic skill, and a desire to reinvent the automotive repair experience. Schedule an appointment online at bluecanary.biz or call them today at 206-451-4220. I got something for your mind, body, and soul. I got something for your mind, body, and soul.
Bystander Podcast. Now here's your host with the most, Tiny Tim.
What's good, Podcastville? Happy generic time of day to you. I am your host, Tiny Tim, the King of Casual, a.k.a. Mr. Rogers of your neighborhood. I want to give a shout out to Blue Canary and their new location in Bremerton for sponsoring the show, Sound Reaper Graphics, and Tideland Magazine. Today, my guest is in the BPA Comedy Competition, Best of Seattle International Comedy Competition. Little 206 legend, Aaron Engel. Aaron, how are you doing today?
Hello. Hello. I'm well. I'm rounding out my work day. Happy to chat with you. And then I'm heading off to sit in on a comedy class. So a little, little stand-up class. It's their second to last lesson slash get dress rehearsal for their big showcase. So you know the process well, I'm sure.
I'm trying to understand it. Trying to be funny without offending people.
Sure.
Let's start right there real quick. Has the woke crowd kind of changed the way you deliver your comedy in any fashion? Are you more conscious of not offending certain groups and such?
I would say, if anything, I'd rather roll with the woke crowd. You know, I've never really leaned towards offensive as far as I would consider things. You know, I think the easiest way to live your life as a comedian is to joke about what you know. And, you know, a lot of people want to explore these topics, especially like identities and whatnot, that that they're not familiar with. You know, like I as a white comic I don't feel like I can speak to a black person's experience or an Asian's experience in this country. So I kind of just try to talk about what I know. And I think there's no real reason for me to tread on anybody or hurt any feelings necessarily. I think I've definitely offended people, but more so about, you know, my experience with religion and where I land on that spectrum. That's the only time I've really had people come up to me after the show and say that I was not for them.
Well, at least they stuck around long enough to tell you.
Sure, yeah.
We'll definitely have to get into religion. That's a very divisive topic. I love going down the 50-50 line. Mm-hmm. You're referred to, I read a great article on The Stranger and some other periodicals and such that call you a feminist comic. What does that exactly mean to you?
I guess I'm a feminist as a person, meaning I believe in equal rights. And I think that, you know, women should have access to the things that men do and have the same rights in our society and the same respect and responsibility. So living that way, I think the way that translates to my comedy is a lot of like sarcasm about tropes about women. You know, there's we've got 50 plus years of stand-up comedy and we come away with the jokes, those old hat jokes, like, you know, women be shopping, or, you know, all women are this way, all men are this way. And I like to shake that up whenever I can, to kind of at least bring a new, what I think is at least my personal perspective, or try to tease out where those, where some prejudices might be coming from, and laugh at that, you know, laugh at the idea that somebody would think, you know, that women are this way and men are this way and what have you. So I like to have a little fun with that. And as far as feminism in comedy as well, you know, I guess that means that some of my topics go along with like my experience as a woman. And when I try to make light of times I've been, you know, like harassed on the street, and, you know, tell a kind of a funny story and roast the person that did it, and give a pretty silly, you know, silly advice for how to counter those types of experiences. And I talk about body, you know, our bodies and body autonomy and all that. That's you know, can be offensive to some people, I suppose. But you know, I feel like that's the only water that I swim in that I think becomes a bit divisive to folks, really. So
do you do much crowd work?
Love to. Yeah. I love to chat with the crowd. Depends
on
the
day. Trouble with that?
I guess I've had it not go how I wanted to. I think it depends on the room a lot and what other comics you're working with too, and where you land in the show. I think a lot of that can color how crowd work is going to go. And you know, I did a really fun weekend out in Lake Chelan, and it was a ladies' weekend getaway, like little mini festival, you know. It was for lots of, the crowd. I've never performed for that, for like an almost exclusively female crowd like that. It was bizarre and wonderful in its own way. And the first night the crowd was so like so hammered on wine that any like crowd work went immediately off the rails, because it was people would just, it would talk and talk and talk. They like the expectation that I was going to finish the thought as I was the one with the microphone on the stage was like out the window. Cause you know, if you have really drunk audience members, sometimes they like go off on their own tangent. They stop paying attention. They kind of like you lose like the authority in the room if somebody runs away with it like that. And you can try to cut back in or what have you, but it's not always sometimes it spins out of control. so that's how I've gotten in trouble, I suppose.
Was it like a drunk book club going on there, or was it more of a corporate thing where people got disinterested and they were just there for the retreat type situation?
Oh no, they were there for this whole, like, it was like a party experience, you know. There was like wine tasting and activities, and the comedy show like capped things off both nights, so you know, everybody was there ostensibly for that part of it as well. They got tickets for it and everything. But my theory is just that they were drinking wine for like 6 hours, and by the time they got to the comedy show, they were three sheets to the wind and not able to focus anymore. But
where does three sheets from the wind come from? Where's that saying from?
Great question. Probably pirates, I assume.
Oh.
I don't know. Three sheets up, hammered.
That's a good one right there.
Wild guess.
I like that guess. I'm going to look it up after we get done talking.
Yeah.
You've been doing comedy 10, 12 years? How long?
Yeah, about working on 10. Yeah.
What made you step up in the very first time?
Well, I think I'd always just, I've always wished I was a musician, honestly. I that would have been my dream in high school, would be to like be in a band or something, but I never got good at anything and I couldn't focus on any instrument. But I've always been a writer, you know, and I used to write, like kind of funny poems, like funny slam poetry. And that was a very dorky era. And then between that, and then I would do like improv comedy in high school and in college. And at the time, the idea of doing stand-up by myself and like, you know, the difference between improv where you're kind of like set up for success because everyone's just excited that you're making stuff up and it's, mm-hmm. there's great energy and you're taking stuff from the crowd and you're working with the team. And the idea of doing stand-up where you kind of just like put what you've written out there and stand there and wait for people to laugh. And if they don't, it's like a living nightmare that I had no interest in doing that until I moved up to Seattle. And I was like, do I want to try to do improv? All these improv, like the only way to do improv is to take a class for like $500. And I was like, but I already know what I'm doing. Why would I take a class? And it's like, well, I guess maybe I'll try it. You know, maybe the team sport, maybe I'm out on the team sport and want to try doing solo. And so I wrote 3 minutes worth of jokes on some note cards.
Index cards.
Yep. Definitely straight up.
Did you put put it on the stool and then the glass on top? Because when I went to my class I was telling you about earlier before we got on air, that was a trick where you put the index card on the stool when you came out and set your water on top of it. And then if it ever came a lull or you forgot something or where your place was, mm-hmm. casually walk over there, take a quick drink of water, look down at your index card and tell the next joke.
I'm trying to remember what I did with them on the first night. Cause I know that I nervously rehearsed, you know, that's the weird thing about comedy is it's hard to rehearse without being in front of a crowd, you know? So I did it like I was getting ready to give my science fair speech or something and ran through my cards. I had a joke on each card, like Laffy Taffy style. So I had my first joke, you know, they were original jokes, they weren't street jokes as we call them, the reused ones, but I had my few jokes and I would just go through them and I was trying desperately to like, make sure I had the right order as though it mattered, which it didn't at all, but, ran through them and I'm really trying to remember it. I know I must have had them on my person when I did my first open mic, but I don't think I read from them. I think I thought it would be inappropriate or like I would look, you know, I would look too new if I read from my note cards. So, but that's a classic trick. I still, you know, sometimes I'll do that if I'm doing a really long set or something and have something I want to make sure I include, leaving a little note on the stool. Classic, great trick. A lot of people write on their hands too, but I feel like it's just like, it's like you can still tell. So you might as well have a piece of paper when you see, see people looking at their hands or their like wrist notes or what have you. I'm like, you might as well just have a piece of paper.
The lights are hot and you get all sweaty. It's not gonna stay. You're not gonna read that.
Yeah.
Hey,
tried an open mic, fell in love, loved the feeling of it, and kind of like toyed with it for a little while, and then really decided I wanted to go after it and you know, kind of rearrange my life a little bit to make it happen.
Do you remember any of the jokes from the first time?
I do. I absolutely do. The one of them was, the people like to say that a sneeze is like a small percentage of an orgasm, but pollen has never made me come and I would never let anybody sneeze on my face. Hopefully, I don't know if this is a family friendly podcast. That might have to get cut.
Not anymore. It's all right. No, you can say what you want. It's a free world nowadays. Mm-hmm. What made you become interested in being a part-time club owner? Didn't you own a club up on Broadway for a little bit with other comedians? No,
that was essentially a grueling volunteer gig was what that was. We had kind of like a little collaborative crew of folks that would run this, 4 nights a week of comedy in the bar in the back of a Thai restaurant, Jai Thai in Capitol Hill.
Oh, Jai Thai, yeah.
Yeah.
And what years was that?
I was producing shows there, from maybe 2015 to 2020 or thereabouts.
And are they still doing comedy?
They are. Yeah. There's some folks that are doing a few nights a week. I think at least Friday and Saturday, maybe a Tuesday night open mic as well. I was there for a little weekend, a Friday night open mic. But I'm not sure what they're doing on weekdays so much anymore. I moved down to Tacoma in 2020 as well. And so I do not hit as many of the Seattle open mics.
Time to sell out the EQC there.
Yeah, if Keith Sweat can't do it, it's got to be me.
Yeah, you got to go be opener for Joe Coy. He always sells that place out.
I'd be give me the email of who I got to write to, and I'll hit him up.
Do you know Todd Royce at all?
I know the name, but I don't think I know Todd.
Okay, he's a golden ticket winner on Kill Tony that lives out there.
Oh, okay.
Tacoma Comedy Store. Shout out to you. Jai Thai, for the listeners out there, is a Thai restaurant on Broadway on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. Is it on the corner?
It's on the corner of Broadway and Thomas.
Yeah. And you go in there and there's a gumball machine or a candy machine. It's like 80 years old and so is the candy inside of it. And there seems to be some... Yeah, I was there a couple of weeks ago, I thought, and there was like peanut remnants.
Oh, okay, that must be up in the front in there.
Yeah, and then it seemed like there was a lot of their stuff kind of stacked around the booth I was sitting at. Hmm. But it has been a hitter for comedians. I mean, Adam Ray from Mad TV started out there. Hans Kim from Kill Tony. Mm-hmm. Your boy, Bo, I believe, has been out there. Bo Johnson.
Bo was one of the producers as well, same time as me.
Was Chris ever out there? Chris Mejia?
Chris would help out with some like various shows, but he wasn't on the production team.
Yeah. And all of you have done quite well.
There's
funny people.
Very magical little place. It's, you know, a grimy, it's grimy. The bathrooms are often broken over the years their management has, the restaurant management has like shifted and changed, you know, and been all over the place as far as what they're up to, but they kind of just let this comedy stuff happen, you know, with this, we had a screaming deal where we would like get to, you know, just basically fill up the room. They would, they would sell food and drinks and we would just make the comedy happen. And, you know, sometimes that was like a 3-hour open mic where there were 6 laughs, and sometimes there were amazing shows with, you know, with crazy like touring acts like Lori Kilmartin or, you know, very like focused, you know, household namey type comics. So very, very cool place in Seattle over the years. A touchstone for up and comers, sort of.
Yeah. I mean, how many clubs are left? You know, in downtown Seattle, I mean, the Comedy Underground's gone. Comedy on Broadway is gone.
That's Jai Thai.
That's what they're calling it. Because there was a place on the other side of Broadway as well that had comedy. I thought that was comedy.
Not that I know of. The Jai Thai used to be punchline comedy shows. All of those same things, the team behind them sort of shifted. Like there was a, you know, some folks moved on to do other stuff and the younger kids came up and took it over and then it became Comedy on Broadway. But that was just always Jai Thai. And then and one of the folks that used to be the like executive producer, as it were, for punchline comedy shows for Jai Thai is a guy named Rick Taylor, and he has opened up his own club in Capitol Hill as well. It's called Club Comedy. So brand new comedy club to hopefully fill that void. RIP Comedy Underground. The Parlor used to have a location in Bellevue and then briefly had one downtown Seattle that did not last very long, but the Bellevue one stuck it out for a little longer, but now that's no longer, there's no longer comedy there. It's just a billiards bar, basically. And then there's Laughs Comedy Club that was in Kirkland and now is in the University District by UW in Seattle. Lots of just independent shows, that go on in town. That's kind of that's the bread and butter for comics in the area, is a self-produced or, you know, other people's cool little one-off shows at random bars and theaters. And then the coolest other new thing besides club comedy is that the Crocodile has, the seminal music venue moved down the street, and that's in Belltown now. And they have like a three-story setup. The first floor is the main floor on like First Ave is the Crocodile music venue. You know, they book that kind of act, it's pretty big, standing room only, concrete floor, you know, staged up to your chest up there. And then they have like a little middle floor with a little more intimate music venue, more like the size of a smaller than Numo's. And then down in the basement, in the alley, was what used to be the Big Picture. Single screen movie theater. And now
that's under Belltown Billiards.
It was, yes.
Or El Gaucho.
Exactly. Yeah. So the Crocodile is in El Gaucho. Maybe the billiards place is what they call Madame Lou's, a smaller venue. And then the former theater is now basically a full-time comedy venue. So they're booking awesome acts. Really, really cool stuff going on there. And I just got last weekend was a part of a team putting together a brand new comedy festival in Seattle. It's called the Upper Left Comedy Festival. And so we just had a May 12th, 13th, and 14th, had three nights, three rooms of comedy, and did a little festival. Want to bring that to the city, because the only other sort of kind of festival is the comedy competition, the Seattle International, which is, you know, what's bringing me out to Bainbridge this weekend. The Seattle International Comedy Competition brings folks from all over, and it's a great place, or a great way for Seattle's comedy scene, you know, to be on the map. But we wanted to have something that was not a competition, for one. And the Seattle International is also, you know, on the road around Seattle. So having something in the city too for a few days was a really good time.
Now, the Seattle International Comedy Festival, have you participated in that in the past?
Yeah. So, and that's,
and have you won that competition?
I have absolutely not won that competition. I have tanked in that competition twice. Yeah. But still had a great time, you know, met a lot of wonderful folks. There's what they do is it's like a 4-week affair. The first 2 weeks are two separate groups, 16 comics 1 week, 16 other comics the next week. And the top five from each of those groups go on to the third week, and then the top five from that go on to the final week. And then, you know, the winner out of that gets like a weekend at the Comedy Underground, formerly. So I don't know what they get now.
So, how many minutes will you be on stage? Is it a 5-minute clip or,
this weekend?
Morning? Yeah.
I'm betting it's probably more like a 20 to 30 minute set for me. And then, that Kermit Apio, the amazing headliner, will probably do 45 or an hour. And he is out of this world, like just heart, warm your heart, make your cheeks hurt. Like, just fantastic, really a pro.
Where's he from?
He lives up in Edmonds, matter of fact. Oh. Yeah. So he's a Washingtonian as well. He tours all over. He does USO tours. He performed for the troops, and, you know, probably more nations than I could, than I will ever go to in my life. I know he's been in the Middle East a lot. He's a Seattle International, winner as well. He's the best. He's Hawaiian, lives in Washington now. Got a family. Great guy. Super funny.
What other comics do you really enjoy right now?
Let's see. I just got to work with Jackie Cation, who's got a podcast called Dork Forest. She's a longtime pro stand up as well. That was amazing to work with her. Love her. Who I've been thinking of lately. I'm going to probably butcher his name, but Nate Bergazzi, I think is a favorite of mine. I always love his stuff.
He's ripped too.
Yeah. Ripped like body.
Muscular, yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised that that's what's going on underneath that. Those plaids.
Yeah. He's a,
what a great thing to know.
Yeah. Check him out on Instagram.
Awesome. We'll do. Yeah, I've been loving, I watched a lot of her stuff online, but I've never seen her live, but, Sashir Zamata, gosh, who else? Marcella Arguello just came to town. She's really cool. She's from LA. I love a lot of my peers here too. Yeah. Bo Johnson, Kristen Hay are both fantastic. We've got a really awesome, really awesome set of comics in the Northwest. I think that we'll see big things from them down the line.
Are you still in touch with Hans Kim from Jai Tai?
No, we are not.
He's definitely one of my favorite, I don't want to say new comics, but new to me.
Sure, yeah, new to, and he's just popping off as it were. So
yeah, he's really fine-tuned his writing, you know, where it's really pops and concise and syncs well. And he's kind of got that Stephen Wright little pause. Yeah.
The good one liners.
Yeah. Where he's kind of like, my wife wants more light in the house. So I put a sunroof in. Boy, are my upstairs neighbors mad. You know, that type of just slow delivery. Totally. So what type of things topic wise do you find funny?
I find a lot of things funny. This weekend did like a 10 minute set that I was like, well, this is bathroom humor, but literally it's just things that I see in the bathroom, you know, it's not bodily fluids based. Was like, wow, this is all just like, I think that has something to do with the past 2 years of like my world getting a little bit smaller with quarantine and whatnot, and kind of found a little bit more, you know, spend a little more time thinking about my immediate surroundings instead of the world at large. And yeah, I think just like the way that people are and awkward interactions with each other, relationships. I think that there's just lots of relatable, silly stuff in all that subject matter. A little bit of politics, current events and whatnot, but so, by and large, I'm more bummed out by that than finding it funny. So
it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
It's just not funny anymore.
Yeah. Well, so I think just people, the weird things that people do and think about is what really I spend a lot of time writing and thinking about.
Yeah. Comedy is all around us. We just need to observe it and tune into it a little bit because yeah, there's opportunity to make fun of everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Equal opportunity offender, right?
Those that are good at it, sure, yeah. I think people have that ability to say things about everyone, and it's if it's well written and funny and apt, then people will like it. But I think a lot of people swing and miss on that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It ain't easy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to look forward to seeing you, Aaron Engle, at the Best of Seattle International Comedy Competition, May 21st. That's this Saturday at the BPA, Bainbridge Performing Arts, at 7:30. Go to their site and get your tickets now. Don't be left out. Any final words for the Podcastville here on Bainbridge?
Excited to see all you Wild Island people. I'm happy to bring a little bit of funny out, and I think it's going to be a great show. You're going to love Kermit Apio. He's going to be your new favorite, and I'm happy to be there with him.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to me, and I'm looking forward to seeing you Saturday.
All right, appreciate it. Great to see your face. It'll be wonderful to meet you in person.
Yes. You've been listening to Bystander. Be kind.